Sometimes in the morning, I like to write my own worship. I love the worship songs. I love to worship that way because sometimes we just don't even know what to say, you know? So I like the worship music. It helps us get there, get in that mode. But I like my worship to be real. I like it to come from me. So I like to write my own. And I just want to give you a suggestion if you feel that way. Like sometimes in the morning, you don't want to say the same thing, feel like it's stale, feel like you're just saying the same words over and over and trying to find worship. So something I've been doing lately is using Psalms. I find David's worship, but then I add my own words and I turn it into my own words, and I let it be a starting place to make his prayers my prayers and his praise my praise, and I just make it, take his words and I start writing them, but then I'll take one of his thoughts and just elaborate on that thought. So it's just maybe you need a little freshness in your worship. Start writing your own worship in the mornings, because as you start to write, it'll flow. And it may become a song. Maybe you'll put a tune to it. Maybe not. You know, the Psalms, most of them didn't have melodies. Old songwriters, they spoke the songs. They didn't always have a melody. And it didn't have to rhyme. It didn't have to balance. It didn't have all the rules that our poetry and our songwriting has today. So just let it be from your heart. So I want to share one of my morning songs with you, because I think it'll help if you make it your own as I read through it. And it started off when I was reading in Psalms 90, verse 8. God, you have set my iniquities before you, my secret sins in the light of your countenance. And I said, Lord, I don't even know. They're secret from me. I don't even know what some of these sins are. And I need you to reveal these deep, hidden deceptions in me, because I don't want to be in agreement with any sin. I'd like your holy countenance to just come and search and reveal everything, God. Open my eyes spiritually to see what you see, and grant me deep and real repentance of everything that could block me from being one with you. So look at me, Lord, with your beautiful holy eyes. Look at me with your holiness. Open me wide, Lord, with your searching lights of holiness and truth. Open me wide and look inside. I don't want any darkness, nothing hidden deep inside of me. I don't want any darkness that can separate my love. Shine in me bright and holy, cleansing light of love. Burn away everything that is hiding in me. I lay myself open to your light. I invite you to come. Accelerate this transformation, burning and burning and burning in fires of purging, with only one motivation, and that's you, your holiness, your presence. Our oneness is my desire. Well, that's my writing. But it's based on Psalm 90, verse 8, where David said, you have set my iniquities before you and my secret sins in the light of your countenance. So from David's thought is where I wrote my morning words. But I just want to encourage you to try that, because it's really opened up my mornings in a greater way of coming into his presence and preparing for my morning time with him. Okay, we are going to talk about, I got some things in here that are so good and I can't go there today. I've been studying up on eat my flesh and drink my blood, and it is awesome, but I can't bring that today. So today, because we're in prayer training, wow, I'm wetting your whistle for when I do. It's good. I've got a couple of messages based on that now, and it's really good. It might peek into today just a little bit later. We'll see. Today, because we're in a prayer training, and I asked the Lord this morning, I told Harvey in the car on the way here, you know, when the Holy Spirit moves on you to pray, it just is so easy. It just happens. But anytime you plan to pray, it's difficult. So coming to a planned prayer meeting, it's like everything is, I don't feel like praying. There's nothing on my heart to pray right now. What do you want us to pray today? So I start on Saturday mornings, you know, I wake up going, I don't have anything, God. What are we going to bring today? And say, I don't even want to start that way. I want to go back. I want to start with worship. I want to start with just loving him. But in the back of my mind is all the time, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to pray about? You know? So I finally got to the point this morning where I said, what do you want us to pray about? And he said, I want you to pray about setting people free from deception, from anger, from addictions, from broken hearts, from depression, from all these hidden sins, all these hidden things. And why are they hidden? Why are they secret? If you have a bad temper, you know you have a bad temper. You know you blow up and yell at people. If you are not patient with anyone, you know that you're intolerant and impatient. You know that. That's not hidden. But it is hidden because the reason you do it is hidden. It's a deception that has a grip on you. That's why we do it. And God wants us to pray about it for ourselves and for others, for Burning Bush, that we start seeing some people set free. We were talking this morning about people that know they have spirits afflicting them. And they won't even walk up here and say, yes, I totally want them gone. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Somebody possessed of the devil, hearing voices, insane, crazy, and they know it, saying, well, I don't know if I want the spirits all gone. Some of them are nice. And we think, it's an evil spirit. What do you mean they're nice? Deception. When it's that extreme, we see it. But our own deceptions are that extreme and we don't see it. That's why it's secret. Secret from us. It's hidden from us. We are deceived about so many things. And God wants us to come into fullness of truth. So we're going to be praying for people to get set free by seeing some truths and by being prepared by God to come out of deception. That's what he wants us to pray about later today. But I want you to look at John 1, verses 1 through 15. About John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist was a forerunner who prepared the people for Jesus to come. And that's what we're doing in prayer. We're going to prepare people for Jesus by praying for them. So, John 1, verse 1. There was a man sent. It is verse 6, isn't it? Verse 6, I wrote it all down in my things. I wasn't looking at the scripture. There was a man sent from God. We are sent ahead as prayer warriors. In verse 7, he came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through Jesus might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. We know that people can get free when the light of truth shines into their darkness. And that's what we want to pray to happen. We're going to bear witness that the light can do it by declaring God's light to shine. Our prayer in verse 5, verse 5, Jesus said that the light would shine in the darkness and the truth would break the power of the light, lies and darkness. Okay, I give up. I have to go there. I didn't write enough of it down. I thought I wrote all these verses and I was trying to be sneaky and just be ready for where I'm going later, but I better go to John because I'm not remembering exactly what I was doing. I'll go back and see if that was verse 5 for me, okay? Yes. I wanted to read 1 through 5 and I didn't do it. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So what we want to do is we want the light of Jesus to shine into some people who are in darkness. And later we're going to ask God who those people are. Who do you want us to pray for? And exactly what kind of light needs to shine into them to get them set free. What are the deceptions that we're up against here at Burning Bush? And how do we pray the light right into those very deceptions and darknesses? Okay. Now Jesus in verse, we'll go back to 8 because we didn't read 8 yet. John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at verse 15. And John bare witness of him, and he cried, saying, This was he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received in grace for grace. John cried out, proclaiming the coming of Jesus before he came. Well, that's what we're going to do in prayer. We are going to cry out in prayer, proclaiming the light of Jesus on someone before he comes. See, John proclaimed it to the people verbally. He spoke to people who were standing around and he said, This is the light. He can set you free. He is coming. Open up and receive him. That's exactly what we're going to do in prayer. Jesus, prepare this heart. Prepare this person. Do what it takes to make them open up and see the light when you bring it into them. That's how we're going to prepare people for the light to come and set them free. In verse 23, John said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. We are going to cry out in the wilderness to make a straight path for God inside of someone. Prayer will do it. Because you see, when we cry out, we now have the Holy Spirit living in us. And when we cry out, the Holy Spirit goes out and goes into that person and does what we have spoken in prayer. If we are listening to God and speaking what he's telling us to speak. Look at verse 36. Well, I'll go 35 first. And again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, our prayer is going to be heard in the spirit of the one we pray for. We are going to pray right inside the spirit of another person, and their spirit is going to hear it, so that when Jesus comes, they will recognize the working of Jesus and follow him. That's the power of the prayer, crying out in the wilderness, crying out here where we don't see anything. We're here before Jesus comes. We're here in that person before Jesus comes. That person's life and their heart and their soul is a wilderness, and we're going to cry into that wilderness and speak the life of Christ. And he's going to get them ready because of that prayer. Whatever he says that it takes to get them ready is what we're going to pray. We don't know what that is yet. We don't even know who that is yet. But let's just take an example. Let's take a drunk. Because I heard a preacher tell someone to do this. A woman called up the preacher and said, My husband's an alcoholic and he's out drinking and I don't know where he is and it's late at night and I'm so worried and I don't know what he's doing. And the preacher said, Is your God real? Do you have a real God? Yeah. Well, then let's pray right now. God, go to that man wherever he is and make him sick. So he begins throwing up. And he can't drink anymore. And he prayed that. And the man started throwing up, getting sick, and he went home because he didn't want to party anymore. He was too sick. That's an example of specific prayer. God led specific prayer. God has to tell you what to pray. And when he does, his spirit will go and do it. And it's powerful. So that's what we want to do today, is find out how to get some captives set free. Because, I mean, I have enough captivity in my own life that I don't like. But there's some people in Burning Bush with some serious problems, serious addictions, definite needs. And we need the Holy Spirit. If we're praying for this ministry, it means we're praying for these people. For these people, because they are the church. And for each other, because we are the church. We all need the prayer too. One thing that really stood out to me, and Harvey, this is going to jump into my Eat the Flesh sermon later, because it was really good. It was really good. Back in 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked. Looking upon Jesus as he walked. We do not know what to pray unless we're looking upon Jesus as he walks. I can only do what I see him doing. What is he doing? Where is he going? Where is he walking? What's he up to? That's what I need to speak. So that's what John the Baptist did. He watched Jesus. He had his eyes on Jesus. That's how he knew what to say. Behold the Lamb! What is the Lamb doing? If we will behold the Lamb, we'll know what to pray. We need to behold the Lamb for each person we're praying for. So, when Hannah comes up for prayer, and she says, "Oh, my husband broke my heart. He ran off with another woman," and I'm saying, I'm getting something ridiculous, so you know it's not true. And I'm saying, "Oh, poor Hannah, you should just kick that guy to the curb. He's not worth anything, you know." That's what my heart wants to say. If I'm her mom, I'm saying, "Bum, get him out of your life. You don't need that bum." But if I'm beholding the Lamb while I'm holding Hannah, I'm saying, "Oh, Jesus, what do you have to say about this? What is your heart about this? Let me see you right now. What do you have to say about this for Hannah?" And he might come back and say, "Stop your crying and get on your knees and start praying like the soldier I made you to be. You call that man back home, and I'll go get him for you." So we don't know what he's saying unless we're beholding the Lamb for each person as we pray. And I don't mean just ignore the person and start worshiping. I mean for the person, behold the Lamb. Turn your eyes to Jesus. What is he saying? What is he doing? God, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? I don't want to pray out of my heart. I don't want to pray out of myself. I want to pray from what you give me to pray. Look at Luke chapter 1. In verse 15. This is about John the Baptist again. I'm taking John the Baptist as our model because he prepared the people for Jesus to come. In prayer, we're going to prepare the people for the Holy Spirit to come upon them and do what needs to be done. John the Baptist, this is what they said about him before he was even born. "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord, their God. And he shall go before Jesus out into the Spirit, in the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make a people ready, prepared. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord." I want to be a John the Baptist intercessor. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost so that I, through prayer, can get a people ready, prepared for what Jesus is coming to do. That's what we want to do in our prayers. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's why he knew what to say. When we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we will know what to pray. "And he turned the hearts of fathers to the children." I am exceedingly grieved about how parents are raising children. This is a thing that's just been, I guess God is quickening it because I just keep seeing it and hearing it. Parents, there's molesting, there's beating, there's abusing, there's neglect, there's horrible homes. But even in a Christian home, there is yelling, there's screaming, there's mean, cruel remarks. And on the opposite of that, there's spoiling and babying and no discipline. And these children are not being prepared for the Lord to come and walk in their life. We need to pray for the parents and turn the hearts of the fathers and mothers toward their children to raise a generation that will serve God, love God, know their God. We need to be praying for the parents at Burning Bush because These little children you're looking at running around here, they are the future of Burning Bush. Whether Burning Bush is going to serve God in 5 years, in 10 years. These are the children. These are the generation. I had a prophecy for Brother Dave, who's one of them that's working with the children, that Dave knows he's going to work with young people, like 20 and 30 years old. He's already doing some of that. But I had a prophecy for Dave where God said, I have put you in a back room with all the little children of Burning Bush. And you know, most churches, you got Sunday school teachers. They teach either little toddlers or the middle-aged kids or the junior high kids or the high school kids. That's what they teach their whole life. That's it. But the Lord said, Dave, you're going to work with these same children. And when they become the older children, you're going to still work with them. And when they become young teenagers, you're still going to be their teacher. And older teenagers and young adults, you are going to bring them up from here and stay with the same kids as they grow and mentor them. Because this is a special generation. This is a chosen special generation. There is so much prophecy on the children at Burning Bush age, not just Burning Bush, all through the kingdom of God. But we need to recognize, even if you're not a parent of one of them, pray for those teachers. Pray for those parents. This is a chosen generation that's going to walk mightily with God. They need the prayer protection of our prayer warriors here. You say, well, it doesn't come to my mind. Offer yourself. Offer yourself to God. God, I volunteer. I will pray for anyone in this ministry that you bring to mind. Now, when they come to your mind, you need to go and find a quiet place and let God pray through you. That's what we need to do. And many of the children shall turn to the Lord their God. Many of the children will turn to the Lord their God. And Zacharias in verse 18 said to the angel, well, how shall I know this is true? I'm an old man. My wife is well stricken in years. He didn't believe the angel. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stands in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. God will send angels to tell us what we need to know, what we need to pray about. He will send His Holy Spirit to give us the power to pray these things. So we need to be a John the Baptist type of prayer minister. We're going to see a little more about John and Mark. Turn over to Mark chapter 1. Verse 1 through 3. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. If we could look at our prayer as clearing a path, here's a wilderness overgrown with thicket and weeds and brush, and this is Burning Bush, and it's individual people. And our prayer picks up the stones, and it takes out the thingy. What is that thingy? No, that thing. Machete, like a machete. Wax those weeds down, you know, and it clears the path. God, go into this person and break that spirit of stubbornness. Stubbornness is in God's way. Break that addiction of drinking. Break it out of God's way. Break them from that spirit of lying. And we send the Holy Spirit like a holy machete to cut these things out of people's lives, out of Burning Bush, out of people, to make a straight path. And then Jesus can walk right into their life and begin to live there. Amen. So we are God's holy machetes. Holy Spirit, through us, our tongue is a fire, and it's a knife and sickle. There's the word sickle. That's what I was looking for, a sickle. I went Mark and then Luke. I did it backwards over here. Okay, let's look at Hebrews 10. That's where I wanted to get. Hebrews verse 10. chapter 10. Starting in verse 16. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. We've been talking about the blood of Jesus, how in the Old Testament God made the Old Testament, the covenant, the agreement, the contract with his people through the blood of animals. But in the New Testament, he said, I'm making a new covenant, a new contract with my people through the blood of Christ. When he says after those days, he means after Jesus had died and spilt his blood and sealed the covenant, the contract with us. So he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. God quickened this to me the other day, and he said, sometimes we get insecure when we start to pray. We get insecure, is it me or is it God? Is it my thought? Is it God's thought? I'm not sure this is God's thought. Maybe this is just my imagination. I don't know. Well, when I looked up that he would inscribe in our minds, I looked up the word inscribe in our minds, and it said that he will write upon our mind, our thoughts, and our imaginations. Mentally, he puts the thoughts and the imaginations right in your head. So if you have prayed the prayer, which is one of my favorites, Lord, bring every one of my thoughts into captivity of Christ. You have laid your sin down. You have laid your will down. God, I don't want my will. I don't want my way. I don't want my thoughts. I want you to own me entirely when I'm in prayer. All the time, but I'm coming to pray. I lay down everything of me, and I only want to hear what you write in my mind, in my thoughts, in my imagination. Now, we wait on the Lord, and he brings us thoughts. One of the things I love is imagination, because thought process is idea upon idea upon idea, concept upon concept. So I can look at something, and I can say, is this stand black? Of course it's black. Oh, but I'm an intelligent human being, and I know that maybe this isn't black. If I were to get a knife and scrape that black, I might find out the true color of my stand is silver, because I can scrape this off and find out that it's silver, right? Now that's logic. That's intelligence. That's me reasoning it out. So when I'm afraid that I might be doing that, I ask God, you tell me what color that thing is and do it in a surprising way. Do it in an imaginative way so I know I didn't make it up or think it up. And God loves to do that for me. He loves to do that for me. And I love it when he does that, because then it's like a shock when he explains. Sometimes he'll say, well, the stand is, in fact, copper. And I go, why? Why is that copper? And he might take me back to the place that it was made and say, because it was made at such and such copper mine. And I'll say, how do I know that's true? And I go flip that over, and there's the name of a copper mine on the bottom. I didn't have any way to figure that out. He told me, and then he proved it true. So it's true. I asked him recently if he wanted Janiah and Dudley to get a certain house that they put a bid in on. And instead of saying yes or no, because I wanted to hear a yes, it would have been really hard to hear a no, because I didn't want to hear no. I said, tell me in a strange way so I know it's you. So next I see someone shoveling up the front yard of that, and then they throw that shovel of that property, and they throw it aside, and they've got like a snow blower, but it's a dirt blower. And they're just plowing down in the ground with this dirt blower, dirt's flying everywhere and going way down deep, and it's God doing it. And he gets way down there deep, and he says, come down here and look. And I'm going, I don't want to go down there and look. I'm even in a vision. I don't want to go down in that dark hole and look. He's going, come on, you can trust me, you know. So I go down there, and there he sits. See that? A little sprout of water coming up, a little tiny spring of water coming up. And I go, yeah, so water, you know. He goes, clean water, that's a commodity. And it will be a greater commodity in the future. Well, you don't build your home where there's not good water. You could go out and they take divining sticks. The world does that. It's witchcraft to say, oh, here's water. Build here. Dig here for your well. God surveyed the land and said, you can build a home here. It's good water. Now, that's an imaginative way to give me a yes. I couldn't have made that up all day long. After he said, here's water, and it's good water, I'm still sitting there confounded for maybe a whole day going, okay, so there's good water. That's nice, but, you know. And somehow it took a whole day before the explanation hit me. You can't build a good home where you don't have good water. That's a yes. I went, oh, yeah, they always survey for water. I didn't even understand what he told me for a while till he explained it. I love it when he uses our imagination. So when you're praying and you've laid everything down and you're in the presence of God and you have worshiped him and given it all to him and you're seeking the Holy Spirit, and I'm not saying you have to take 30 minutes when somebody says, can you pray for me? The more you do this, the quicker it becomes. Walk in his presence. Live in his presence. Try to stay in his presence. Then when somebody needs prayer, you're already ready to hear him. He would like us to be pray always, pray without ceasing. Live in prayer. Live listening to him and watching him. That's the goal. Isn't that awesome, though, that he inscribes his laws right into our minds and imaginations? So let's keep going. Verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. For where there is remission of these, there's no more offering for sin. Well, what if God doesn't want to hear me because I'm not good enough? Do you have the blood of Jesus? Then your sin is paid for between you and God.
Amen.
And verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. I can't see it, just is everywhere. His flesh, there's this flesh again. Hint, hint, has to do with eating the flesh. His flesh is the actual veil into the holiness of God. And what is his flesh? I'm just going to give it to you, but I'm not going to preach it. His flesh is God, the Word of God, who came to dwell among us in the flesh. It is God in the human body. What did he do? Lived as a high priest every minute of his life. Lived for God, walked with God, listened to God. He did not function as though he were God. He functioned as a man depending on Father God. He had to listen, just like we do, to what the Father was saying and watch what the Father was doing. He had to depend entirely on Godhead in heaven to successfully live in a way that he could enter into the holiest place. Well, when we come through the flesh of Christ, it means that we have laid our life down as Christ, the same way he did, and that we are coming through total dependency on God in heaven, having paid for all of our sin, giving him our will, being willing to hear and only do what he's doing and saying. That's how Christ entered in. That's how we enter in. The same way he entered in, and because of his blood, we can come into the very presence of God every time we pray, boldly. So let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Hard to stay away from that too. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. Now the purpose of entering in intercession, is to love one another, to provoke one another to good works, to intercede for someone else who needs it. And we've laid down what we think. We have been sprinkled, gotta do it, can't help myself. I've been studying the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. When we get baptized, we are immersed, totally washed in the blood of Christ. Every sin we ever did or will commit against God, washed away, gone. But the sprinkling is here for the sins against one another, to keep our conscience and our life pure in the sins against each other. one drop at a time. Tom offended me. I need a drop of Jesus' blood that I can offer to him to forgive him for offending me. I need a drop of the blood of Jesus to cleanse away my anger toward Tom as I repent. It keeps my conscience clean. The continual, it's like a rain from heaven, a continual outpouring of the sprinkling of the blood of Christ that can be applied every time we sin against one another and have to forgive one another and repent. That's the sprinkling. So when we come into the presence of God with a pure heart, it means we're going to live as Jesus did, come through the veil by laying our life down, laying down our will, laying down everything, seeking God purely, and that we're going to make sure that we have no offenses in our conscience, unforgiving of others, or unconfessed sin that we know about. So we want to be searched so that we know that this light of God has searched us first before we ask it to search others. And therefore we can enter in bold, bold, bold. That is just absolutely awesome, awesome, awesome. What got me started on this the other day, I'm going to mention this before we start praying because it's going to help us. It's going to help us listen to who he wants us to pray for. And maybe it'll be ourselves first, probably. Issues in relationship. Issues. What really irritates you? What really irritates you? Because I see people that one thing can irritate him that I have total patience for. But something else irritates me that he has patience for. Where does that come from? Does it come from the book of what is right and wrong in rules? No. It comes from our personal belief system. It comes from our personal judgment. We're reading this marriage book, and if you're going to get married, are married, or ever want to be married, or ever were, so in other words, everybody, you ought to read this book called Sacred Marriage, because it is awesome about how to have relationships. But as the writer of that book, such a short memory, I forgot his name, Gary Thomas, he said one little issue that in his house growing up was taught to him as a right and a wrong. If you empty the ice tray, you fill the ice tray. You don't put an ice tray back in with two ice cubes in it. He called that ice chips. He said, in my home, you get ice, fill. I don't care if you take three cubes, fill three cubes. Fill the ice tray. It is wrong if you don't fill the ice tray. Well, in his wife's home, that just was not an issue. She didn't see it at all. So for years, she would put back ice chips. And it would irritate him. So one day he asked her, how much do you love me? She said, I love you more than all the world. And he said, well, I don't want that much love. I want you to love me for 7 seconds worth of love. She says, what are you talking about? He said, 7 seconds. That's how long it would take to fill an ice tray. If you love me, why can't you take 7 seconds and fill an ice tray? And she said, oh, that again. And just walked away. To her, it was not that ridiculous, stupid argument again. That's not even important. To him, it was a right and wrong. It proved her love to him to fill an ice tray. To her, it was absolutely ridiculous. It's not a right and wrong issue. It's a belief system. It comes from where we were raised, things that we lived through. And those are the issues that really get a grip on us toward other people. God got a hold of Gary Thomas and said, why don't you give her 7 seconds of love and you fill the ice tray? It's important to you. Make it important to love her by you doing it, not putting it on her. She didn't see it. She was blind. You know, he was probably the more right in that argument. He was probably the one more right. But it's never really the issue. It's how we take the issue. Issue by issue, to sit down and say, Gary and Lisa are having a fight about ice cubes. Let's analyze who's right, and let's drop the hammer. Gary wins. Fill the ice tray. So what? Even if she did it, he wouldn't feel loved, because law made her do it, not love. And he was equating it to love. So some of these issues that people have, they are deeply rooted where they need to be loved. Convinced that they're loved. And they need to let go of the issue. and they need to understand how somebody else loves. Some things that we just can't let go of are based on lies that came into us when we were young. Lies that we equated with actions. So now when anybody does that action, we can't stand that person. In our book, I'd never do that. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. I can't stand people who do that. Why? It's got a deeper issue, it's deeper root. So we need to begin praying in the things we see in people, not in condemnation, not in judging, but in saying, God, follow that thing down to the root. Bring truth, shine light into that darkness. Because this is the reason a lot of parents are harsh and mean and rude and carrying on with their kids. It relates down to something that happened to them as a child and what they tied it to. And now they take it out on everyone else. One issue in Janiyah is that somehow, like, let's just take the other day, Jackson is crying because he was frustrated. Janiyah had gone downstairs, he was alone at his school desk, and he got frustrated, so frustrated he starts crying and throwing his pencil down. He's crying because he couldn't get something. She's downstairs, he's right by Harvey's office, so he's screaming down the stairs trying to get his mom's attention for help. Harvey's trying to do his work, so he comes out of the office and says, stop screaming at the top of your lungs. If you're going to talk to somebody in another room, go to the other room. You don't stay up here and scream down the stairs. That's a good rule, isn't it? Because it's real hard if kids are in the house screaming all over the house at each other, or anybody is. In his mind, because he's got work to do, and that's disrupting his job. Later, Harvey went to the store, and I was downstairs, and in his mind, it's a quiet house, and he came to the top of the stairs and said, Sue, I'm leaving. He called downstairs. Same rule, but we reasoned them away. He knew why Jackson shouldn't be doing it. It didn't apply anymore to why he was doing it, so it was okay to break his own rule. Not to Janiyah, who says, hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. You raised me saying don't yell downstairs, and you're yelling down the stairs, and she's just coming unglued over it. I didn't even care. I didn't even care. Nobody told me I couldn't yell. I never yelled anyway, but nobody ever told me I couldn't yell down the stairs. We didn't have any stairs. That was not an issue in my life. I didn't care. Harvey understood why he broke the rule, so he didn't care. Janiyah's downstairs just coming totally unglued over this, because as a child, when he told her, the real thing came back to, he didn't want her to cry, and she took it as saying to her, it is wrong to cry. You shouldn't be emotional. Stop crying. And then she is a compassionate, weepy person. She's God's crybaby. Thinking it's wrong to cry, it's wrong to cry, it's wrong to cry, and I want to cry, something's wrong with me, I always want to cry. She took a whole belief system wrong to cry, which had really, that's not what her dad meant. Not what her dad meant at all. But somewhere in her childhood, he yelled at her not to yell, cry from one room to the other. And her bigger issue was that Jackson was crying, and he was being rebuked for crying. He wasn't being rebuked for crying. See, her issue just tore the whole thing out of proportion because of her own woundedness and how the devil lied to her in her woundedness. So what does she need? We take that before God. What does she need? She needs truth. She needs to get the truth that it's not wrong to cry. Her dad loves it when she cries. He does. He loves her to cry over people, don't you? He's so excited when she's crying over people. He doesn't like it so much when it's just the female hormonal, Why are you crying over shutting a cover, you know? The guy that wrote that same book says, women cry like men sweat. And if you can look at it like that, it would help you. You get a little frustrated and you sweat. They get a little frustrated, they cry. It's like you sweat. You know, that might help. That kind of crying men will never understand. They glow, I'm sorry, they glow. Women glow when they sweat. But issues. What? This is for you. It may not help your prayer today, but this is for us. What if God put you in prison, in a one-cell prison, with a person who does all the things that you can't stand? Everything that gets in your nerves, the worst of anything in this world. Because we've all got those issues. What is it you can't stand a person doing? Sniffling? Making funny little hummy sounds, or, you know, snapping. You know, I can't stand whistling. It doesn't matter what it is. These issues aren't wrong. It's that you can't stand them. What if you end up in a one-room cell with a person who does all the things you can't stand, and you're locked in there, and there is no escape? Are you going to lose your peace with God? Are you going to be able to tolerate those things and stay at peace with God? Or are you going to come undone? Well, God is pressing us out of our comfort zones. He's pressing us beyond measure. And part of the reason is because the enemy knows what you can't stand. So those are the buttons he's going to keep pushing. God wants you to conquer those things. Conquer them because there's something behind them. There's something deeper behind them. There's something deeper to the issue. But if we could get to where people can't move us from our peace. So when you see others in the church that are frustrated, you know what frustrates me? Frustrated people. Somebody standing there going, I can't stand them doing that. I can't stand you not standing them doing that. That's hypocritical. I can't tolerate intolerance. But when we see where people's buttons are, it's a clue for us to know how to pray for their freedom. It's way more than ice cubes. It's way more than yelling from another room. It's way more than clearing their throat and spitting on sidewalks and gross things men do. It's way more than the stuff we do. It is why we do it and how we have a belief system based on that very action that needs healing or deliverance in truth. So there's prayer material for us. We go through the church, we see people doing stuff, especially if you can't stand it and it gets on your nerves. You need to say, God, help me see why that irritates me. And when you see them irritated with each other, oh, there's somebody I can pray for to get them free instead of someone I can criticize. Remember the two ministries going on all the time at the throne of God. It's either accusation or intercession. For everything we see, we either go to the throne accusing them. You don't have to go to God accusing. If you're accusing anywhere, the devil's delivering it to the throne of God and you've become the servant of Satan. Accusation or intercession. Everything we see in the people, let's make an intercession. Because we have bigger things coming along. We have demon-possessed people coming in. We have drug addicts. Do you know if we were to have a revival hit today, what would flood into our doors? Young people that have been in demon worship, into heavy drugs, into illicit sexual situations. They're coming in here hooked on cocaine, hooked on heroin, having been in demon worship, churches doing detestable things. Homosexuals by the herds are going to be coming in here. So when that happens, how are we going to get them set free if we're still judging whether or not somebody fills an ice tray? We need to get free. We need to get tolerant. I don't mean tolerate sin. I mean tolerate and get people free and be patient and kind and loving. Because that's what it's all about, loving people to Jesus. And that doesn't let sin go. But the sin, love, speaks truth in love to get them free from sin. But ice cubes aren't sin. So if we can begin to pray each other into a place where we can walk with God and love people that are in deep need, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. God's will, he desires to build you up more than he desires to correct the other guy. Father, we pray today, first of all, that you would help us to confess our own sin, to lay our own lives down. Lord, those things that nag and irritate us. What if you sent us to another land and their cultures are so different? It doesn't make them wrong and us right. Let's lay down our rights. Help us lay down our ways, our customs, our training, our habits that are just preferences. Root them out of us so that we can be patient and tolerant. And then, Lord, help us to see others that need prayer, that we can help them come up to a new level of patience and peace and walking with you. Make us intercessors like John the Baptist, who can prepare a people that the Lord can come here and walk among us, and that you can come here and live in us. The burning bush can be a place that you will say, wow, I can do what I want to. There, they're going to let me. Get us ready, Lord, through intercession, through prayer. Guide us today, God. We just beseech you. Show us who to pray for, how to pray for one another. Let your Holy Spirit come upon us, Lord, and make intercession for Burning Bush. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just sit alone first and spend a little time in asking the Spirit to examine you and search you, your mind, your heart, and get you ready before we come together and pray for others. We're going to do this different today. I feel like the Lord wants the prayers recorded along with the message. May have to go to a second disc, I don't know. But what we're going to do today is stay at our seats, and as God puts someone or something to pray for on your heart, I want you to come and pray it into the microphone. No names, okay? We're not going to publish any names. So we may just say, Lord, there is one in Burning Bush that I'm thinking of that you've put on my heart. And I'm going to start it off right now because he did put one on my heart. And Father, this one is not here, not in this room, but is someone who comes here. And Lord, this person has struggled so long, so hard. And I know that he loves you so much. And yet there's so much deception, so much pain in him. And I'm just asking you, God, that you would bring truth, that you would show him the truth, that you would soften his heart and his harshness and his anger. Lord, that he would open up, that he would trust, that you would prepare this one, lead him out of the bondage, out of the addictions. Lord, there's a bad marriage involved and so much anger, so much hostility. And Father, I pray you would heal both of them and that you would just show them the power of your mercy and your forgiveness. Lord, that you would just pursue them with your love, but with the revelation of their own sin. And Lord, that they would allow you to go deep and to father and to mother them and to bring the healing that they need in the name of Jesus.
Asking you, Father, that the ones that are here, that, Lord, they would lay their lives down and allow you to pray for others through them. Lord, they would allow you to search their own hearts and come into your presence in peace and in purity. Just, Lord, have them confess their own sin. Just said, you know, I'm coming boldly in and through the blood in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just that each one would allow you, Holy Spirit, to just lift them up. It's like I see you lifting them up. It's like you're like a dove and they're on your back and you're carrying them in prayer. And it's like you're flying over. And you're giving them a bird's eye view. You're showing them. You're taking them to different people that come here that are influenced through this, by this ministry. And that you're allowing them to see. You're sharing with them things. You're giving them insight. As they look into you, it's like they see right through you. They're on your back, Holy Spirit. And you're carrying them. And they could see right through you. Like down in Florida, you could see through the glass bottom boat. And they could see right through you into people. What you show them. Like holy x-ray. And what they need to pray. What it is you're wanting to pray through them. And that, Lord, each one here would just lay their lives down. Each one here would allow you to carry them. Each one here would come in agreement with you. Break all agreement with judgment and criticism. And just say, you know, I'm coming in behalf. I'm coming as a warrior to set them free. It's not them. They're made in the image of God. That's not them. That's a lie of the enemy they're believing in. That's a lie they've been deceived by. They're held captive. And they would realize that you, Holy Spirit, have drafted them into your army as a soldier. And you're flying over the enemy, taking them right to the captives, saying, we're having a mission here. We're going to set them free. And you're going to pray through them as they just allow you. Just choose to cooperate. Just let you pray in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, giving them your heart. Just commit these into your hands. This is who you have me praying for. The ones in this room. I want you to lift them up. I want you to let them know they're a handpicked crew. Bombardier, gunner, guy looking through the whatever he's looking through. The other one planning out the strategy. The pilot, the co-pilot. A holy B-22. Just getting in on it, Lord. Handpicked crew. They're here today. Lift them up. Give them your heart. May they just receive your heart. For the people you put on their hearts. Help them to realize what they're seeing, what they know, is only what you've revealed to them. Thank you, Jesus.
There's one at Burning Bush who God has laid on my heart very deeply. And Jesus, I just pray right now for this person that you would set her free from the spirit of flirtation. Jesus' name. Shine light into that and show her where that came from and show her your truth about the situation. So that she doesn't believe these lies anymore. That she believes that she is special. That she believes that you love her. And that she believes that she's made in your image. And that she is fearfully and wonderfully made. No mistake is in her. There is no spot in her. Thank you, Jesus, for the light you are going to shine in her life. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for, in advance, for setting her free.
just thank you for never leaving me or forsaking me, for showing me the way, for picking me up and dusting me off, so that the light will shine through me to other people. And I got that confirmation this last Sunday when somebody comes, a person that comes in here, drinks, and he knows you, Lord. He knows your word. Lord, I just ask that you keep on shining your light through this church to him. Because he said to me, you know, I feel safe when I'm here. And Lord, thank you for reflecting that through us. Because that's you that's showing him that. It's not us. We're just a vessel. Thank you for making me well. Thank you for putting me through what I went through so that I could better understand and be equipped. But most of all, Lord, I just thank you for you. Because last week you gave me a word for this man on Sunday. And I got to be honest, the first two times I just said, what? And then it's like I could not sit down. I had to walk over to him. And I know that was you in me that had me do that. And I just said these few words. When the cat's away, the mouse will play. And I didn't have a clue, Lord. But thankful you did. And in the middle of the week, he came in and said, thank you. He said, thank you for being obedient. He said, because I didn't understand it at first. He said, and then I sat down and then it hit me. Like these bricks came tumbling down over me. And he said, and I knew it was from God. And Lord, I just bring him before you right now, Lord. That you are the way. You are the light. And you can make a difference in anybody who is willing. And Lord, because of this place, he's being drawn to you. And I just thank you for shining the light on him. He also said, he says, I don't think I've ever had anybody care about me as much as this place. And I told him, it's not the people here. It's God and the people. Because I told him, me without God would make you sick. You'd run away. You'd be disappointed. And you probably still will be because I'm still in the flesh. But I just thank you for using me and bringing this man into this church, because you've told me he has awesome, awesome capabilities. He's just been in bondage. So right now, Lord, I just break that bind, that want, whatever it is that he has to drink, he feels like he has to drink, Lord. I just break agreement. I'm standing in for him right now, Lord. Just, Lord, you know, I tell him when he goes outside to smoke, this isn't of me. Well, maybe partially, but I just hope that you get sick on those cigarettes. And I notice he hasn't been smoking quite as much. So, Lord, I'm going before you right now and asking that when he drinks, that makes him sick, Lord. And, Lord, that he sees the light, that he sees his own potential that he has. Lord, I'm not giving up. And I know you're not. So if it takes 1,000 more times of him coming in here and me saying what you want me to say to him, I'll do it. Lord, we're just asking for an awakening, an eye-opening appointment, a divine appointment with you and him. Whatever it takes, I can understand how you cry and grieve over people. how you get hurt by when we don't listen. Because I felt that, Lord. I felt that. The wounds that you felt. The hurt. The disappointment. But it's all worth it. It's all worth every moment. If we can just save one person from going to hell. Lord, I'm greedy. And whoever you put in front of me, I will show them you. So I'm asking to have your way with this man. Have your way, Lord. Have your way with him, Lord. Whatever it takes. Because he's not a lost soul. He's just a confused soul. So we take away the confusion too. Just turn up that light. Make it brighter and brighter. So that when the doors are open, he'll be here open to you. I know how you feel. You lose one, Lord. But I'm not giving up. And I know you're not either. And I also want to bring the fact that they're not married, Lord. And they know that's wrong. So we need to work in that too, Lord. But one step at a time, you say. One step at a time. And I will cease without praying every day, Lord, until you manifest it in me. Oh, Shepherd. I just saw the Lord told me just before he told me what to say or give it to me what to say or visioned it. He said he's just wandering around lost. And I saw Jesus come up and put the onto his belt loop and clip this leash. And said he needs to be God-led. He needs to be God-led. So Lord, I am standing in front of you right now, begging, pleading, praying that you will have your way with me. That everyone in here, I know, feels the same way. So we are in agreement. We are going to help pull him out of the gutter and love him unconditionally. We are going to love him to you, Lord, no matter what it takes. I give you the praise and the glory, Lord, for me to be even standing and breathing. So I know this is something that you're not up there wondering what you're going to do or how you're going to do it. I'm thanking you for it's already done. It's already done, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You know what, Lord? You are like taking that holy rod. No more confusion, because now he can see clearly, because he got a clear path. And that's what you're doing here with the people here. You're saying you got your holy lawnmower, and you're just making a path right from the altar, right from the cross, to each person here. And you're saying, can you see clearly now? Can you see clearly? Can you get up? I'm removing all the roadblocks. I got my holy lawnmower going through, chewing up everything that's in the path, everything that's in the way. You're getting it out of the way for the people here to pray what it is you want them to pray. Not just maybe, but like just see it. Can you see it? Now speak it. Just get loose. You are set free. No more debris. Holy lawnmower just chewing up the debris. Getting it out of your way. It's a clear path. A clear path to Jesus.
Come on,
Everything's out of your way now. Everything's out of your way now. You got a clear path. Can you see? Clear path. It's out of your way. You can walk freely now. Bring it before Him.
Can you see? Can you hear me now? Can you hear us now, Lord? Okay, we want to lift up Sunday. We just want to lift up Sunday before you. We want to just ask you to just burn through here tomorrow, Lord.
Yes.
Just come through, Lord.
Yes.
Just don't let it be another Sunday.
No.
No.
No. I want you to open eyes. Just remove all deceptions. People walk in here. It's like when they walked into the movie theater in the 50s and you put on those 3D glasses, Lord. Well, Lord, they just walk in here with spiritual glasses. Boy, they just be wondering, what is wrong? I can see stuff I couldn't see before. And that, Lord, you would deal with the Holy Spirit. You just become that holy nag. Just
holy conviction.
Just keep on popping away right in the heart. Lord, just deal with us right where we are and realize this is a job for Jesus. We just bring it to you. Give it to you. We just quit hanging on to the stupid stuff. And we just give it to you. And just say, Lord, I can't do this. I don't want it anymore because I only want Jesus living in me. And that, Lord, there would just be complete agreement with you. Agreement with you and breaking agreement with the enemy and stupidness. We say, please.
We ask that every single person who comes here sincerely seeking you will have a breakthrough.
Amen.
Leave no one behind.
Amen.
Thank you.
Walking with you.
We ask you to just give.
Amen.
Eagle eyes to our watchmen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Just grip the hearts of intercessors tomorrow, Lord. To just see where the prayers lead. Bless those teachers and God. Stir them up.
Yes. Yes. Help them to see those little catches through your eyes, Lord. Lord, you just give them vision to see their future, see what it is you're doing. And Lord, as people walk in here, like when you walk through a old house and the cobwebs get on you, may your love just stick all over us. We couldn't get it off of us if we tried. Lord, we'd just be overwhelmed and just saturated and baptized in your love and your presence and your heart and in the way you see us, and we would see ourselves that way and break agreement with the other stuff, Lord. Just see it and speak it. Move into
wake
it.
People
embrace
up early
you.
In the morning. Wake them up, Lord.
Yes. Wake up, call.
Just pull on their hearts to come. Don't let go of them, Lord. Straighten them. I'm thinking of certain people, Lord. You know who. That always plan to come and then they don't.
Yes.
Lord, just steal their every excuse.
Yes, Lord. Yeah, get on divine unrest.
Yes, don't let them speak.
Amen. Divine unrest. They
kick
couldn't
the
stay
devil
there.
Out.
That's right.
Kick
make
the
their
devil
bed
out.
Uncomfortable. Amen.
Put the holy blinds on them, Lord. Let them show up. They didn't even know it.
You don't have a right, Satan.
Amen. No, we revoke your license in their lives.
That's right.
And just say, Lord, you would bind every enemy in their lives.
Yes.
And I'm not kicking them out. I'm just saying that they have to be rendered useless and ineffective until you can open their eyes, Lord, and that you would do that, and that you would set them free, that Lord, and just bring them to a place where they could clearly choose.
Shoo! Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that when we go home, Lord, that you just keep the spirit going right now.
Yes.
And that when we wake up in the morning, Lord, that we will be ready, Lord, and that we will come to you and we will ask for your preparation. Lord.
Yes.
When we wake up, prepare us to stay, Lord. Prepare us to stay, Lord, tomorrow. Yes.
Plant people inside
of us.
Plant people in our spirits.
Yes.
Your love, your tenacious grip that won't let go.
Until
we're delivered.
Let us come together as one, Lord. One with you, Lord. One under the moon. One with you.
Prepare the way, Lord.
Yes.
Prepare the way.
Prepare the way. That's right.
Shine the light.
We're coming to
you. Angelic. We go forth with the holy debris removing lawnmowers. Go for it, Jesus.
Lord, anyone that teaches tomorrow, anyone that sings tomorrow, may your anointing fall on them in a new way.
Yes.
But wake them in the morning and let them come before you early, Lord.
Yes.
Come early and lay their lives down.
Yes.
Early,
yes.
That you might be able to just pour out a fresh anointing. Protect them, Lord.
Deliver us from the fear of man.
Yes. Deliver us from keep us from distraction.
Amen.
All you.
That's right. Total dependency on you. That's right. As you have those
debris,
Lord, that you would just keep ever widening the circle, ever widening the circle, just keep going. Help us to see further. Help us to see further. Help the paths to be made clear that more could come in. Wider and wider. Just keep going out. Larger perimeter. Just keep going out. Ever widening. I see a bunch of angels with those holy debris removing lawnmowers going out and removing just all over the place. They're like going up and down the streets, going through the living rooms, in the front door, out the back door, through the bathroom. They're going everywhere, just removing the debris, just bringing it all on. More, Lord, more, more, more. Clear paths, clear paths. Clear path to Jesus.
That's right.
Clear path to the cross.
Yes.
Clear path to your name, your blood. Clear path.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, when you speak, you don't have to yell. You just speak, and it travels until it hits one. And you just keep speaking it, just like sound waves going out. Just touch, 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 touch. Level us, Lord. Level us. Bring us to the end of ourselves. That's right. Level us, Lord. Level us.
Yeah.
So we come to our proper position of bowing before you. Bowing before you.
Lord, we just
pray
for
God
to have a flame in our heart.
Needing you. Needing
you. Fan the flame.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, make it a roaring fire.
Do what only you can do.
That's right. Amen.
Not a little fire, Lord, but a bonfire, Lord.
That's right. That's right. A forest fire.
Yes,
holy fuel.
Consuming.
More,
consume
Lord.
Us, Lord.
Lord,
consuming
let us
fire.
Be, whoa, let us be that path.
Burn
Lord,
with
that,
your
that
passion.
Path.
Burn with your love.
You through us.
Burn with your love for others. Burn with the love for you. Lord, a holy passion for you. Seeing others through your eyes, having your heart. Yes, Lord. Grip.
It's not always what we come up with, what's in our hearts. what you put in our hearts, Lord. So put in our hearts what you want. Oh, put these things on our hearts. Write these in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, like your word said. Let us see it clearly, Lord.
Every
you want
block
comes
that people have, every block, everything that's stopping them from this place, step forward. I mean, step forward. Remove the blocks. Remove the stone. Remove the debris. Remove it. Remove it. Expose the virus. Remove whatever it is. And then cut it down and level us. Bring us to a place of being level. Level so we can be more level so we can be loved and then love
ourselves.
All right! Thank you,
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. I declare.
I declare.
That's right. Amen. By our finite mind. We just speak what you say and not try to figure it out. Lord, just speak. May we declare. Just declare. Yes.
Amen.
Help us to believe that.
Instead
of our pure thinking. That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. A number of them stepping up. May our people learn to worship together. May our people just be delivered from worry and fear and snare of the enemy and just step forward and worship you and exalt you and magnify you. And that, Lord, different worshipers would step up. They don't even have to be packed up together. Just step up and just worship you.
Yes.
And all blend. A heavenly melody. Thank you, Jesus.
Wait your evangelism, Lord.
Yes.
To go out and find the people that you're seeking.
Yes.
Just burn their hearts and have to go fishing.
Yes.
As we were praying for the lawnmowers and everybody to go out, when they all these paths, and they were narrow paths that were being made, and I saw a lot of us with lawnmowers and weed whackers, and we were going out. And as we were going out, there was arrows that were pointing back, and it was back to God. So we were all going out, and then the path was to come back, bring them back to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sure.
I was seeing things along the road, but they were like on fire, and they were going all over.
Man, dark fire.
I had fire coming out of mine, my exhaust.
Yeah.
Just as you were saying that, Glenn, it was like we went out and then we came back with a path.
Right.
So
well, that
we went out and came back with a path. We didn't take the path just to them. We went out and brought the path back to them.
Confirmation of the arrows.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah,
we release your angelic voice.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Open eyes. Open the eyes of our heart.
Open our heart.
Blind hearts.
Yeah.
Blind eyes.
Lighten the path, Lord. Lighten the path so they know where to go.
May there be holy convictions.
Yes.
May it just begin with us. Yes. May we be leveled.
Yes.
So that this world may be leveled.
Lord, we are
honoring you.
Our minds. We're giving
yes,
our
all of us.
We lay down everything, and we want your spirit to come and be
specific. Yes,
we want to speak what you mean, that you bring to our mind, that you want to specifically say, Lord. Bring thoughts, bring your pictures, bring your mind, And we will speak forth what you want.
Shut the whip up!
Capture every thought.
Yes, Lord.
Capture every thought, Lord,
Lord Jesus, I give you permission to work in me.
Yes,
for your
glory.
Yes.
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 100%.
Stretch your heart so that you love the way you love us.
Yes.
Yes. On the cross. Forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yes.
Stretch our hearts of love to these people, the 500 that are going to come in,
yeah.
The people that are here right now. If we're fighting and quarreling amongst ourselves, how can we love the 500
that's
that are
right.
coming?
That's right.
Yeah. Stretch our hearts now, God. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. No judgment. Just compassion.
Whatever's in this house,
we're not going to lower the standard of holiness either. It's all about holiness,
Lord,
but it's all about you. It's all about your love.
It's outrageous.
Loving
yes.
people.
That
that's
the world
right.
will go, why would
loving,
you do that?
Yeah.
Loving,
yeah.
How could
loving,
you do that?
Loving.
Give us an outrageous
yeah.
love like
yeah. Thank you. For,
yes.
Thank you for giving us
yes.
people that are trying to outgive you. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you. I
Show!
Love it. It is so cool. And you're
Let
only getting
open.
Started.
Dad, you're
Thank
so
you,
awesome.
Lord. And we just want to keep trying to outgive you. I just want to
yes.
see us try. Lord, it is so cool. It's so cool.
Oh.
You. It's
I
so
see
cool.
God raining gold coins into our spirit right now. And he's saying, if you would just give it out, I would rain it into you. Give it without reason.
Whatever it is he's telling us.
Yes.
Whatever.
And I will rain more. You cannot outgive me. I just see us like give, and he's raining more faster than we can get rid of it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord, bless your people if they're willing to.
Yes.
Let us be a blessing.
Let them see you and us, Lord.
Let us be that true reflection of you.
Yes.
Out of our comfort zone, out of our logic, beyond reason.
Yeah.
Search our minds, Lord. Search our hearts.
Show the tenderness you have shown us.
That's right.
We do whatever has to happen in us, but we can see people so set free, Lord. People mentally ill, people demon possessed, people
yes.
hooked on drugs. People in such deep despair. Let us carry your presence to set them free. Lord, someone said the other day, I guess I'll never be delivered. I've been to lots of churches and they can't help. Don't let anyone leave here saying that.
Right.
Don't let this
right.
be another place that can't help.
Yes, Lord. It's your place. Sure. It's your place, Lord.
And you know that one, Lord, that one I'm speaking about. Bring him in here and deliver him, God. Fully, completely.
I could see people standing by looking at us and their mouths were like dropped open because they couldn't believe what we're doing for God.
Lord, it can only happen if we hunger. If we hunger, so hunger for you that we're consumed with you until we are consumed by you.
That's right.
Stir up, God. Stir up our hunger for you.
That's right.
One of the big things in our service is
we need
to never forget
you're
a man.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Yeah.
Not fear man or demon, Lord.
Everybody outside this room, everybody that comes here, break off the fear of
God. Yes,
thank you.
Thank you.
Don't worry about
your
people.
Yes.
Lord, God, you're
yes.
trying to this is like God.
Yeah.
Get freedom. Yeah. Get it. want freedom.
Yeah,
they
are.
Want
to
be free, but
yes.
Somebody's got to get free. But first!
I'm asking you, Lord, to send the money, the resources, that we can expand every time we need to. But, Lord, beyond that, the resources to bring in more and more and more of your ministers to full-time ministry, where they're totally supported and taken care of here, where they can devote all their life to serving you and not worry about money.
Yes.
Not for our wealth, but for our freedom to serve you.
That's right.
Freedom, Lord, freedom.
I'm asking that you would reach in past our hiding. Reach beyond our running. We may run from you, but we can't hide from you.
That's right.
Help us to realize that quickly so that we don't run from you anymore, that we run to you, not away from you.
Worshippers, that we could come together for a night that is just pure worship.
Yes.
Bring that about, Lord.
Yes.
Oh.